The following is a production of Lift Hill Media. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the original Theme Park Podcast.
Theme Park Podcast.
This is your announcer, Neil Patrick Harris. And now, podcasting from our glass-enclosed studios in Washington, D.C., this is CoasterRadio.com. Here are your hosts, my close personal friends, Mike Collins and E.B.
Thank you very much, Neil, and welcome everybody to the original Theme Park Podcast. This is CoasterRadio.com. My name is Mike Collins, and I am excited to have my co-host back. Here's the one and only EB, everybody.
You tried to replace me with a bunch of jokers.
It didn't work.
You tried to replace me with some chick. I don't know who that was.
Who's the chick? My wife?
EB is back.
Oh, there we go. EB, welcome back from the big three-week road trip. This is exciting.
It was the big family road trip, Mike. It was a good time.
I am so excited to hear about this because I felt like I was kind of living it through you. I was following all of your photos on Facebook that you and your wife, Tris, were putting up there, and I was jealous. I wanted to see all of these things with you. It was so great.
I'm going to have to add, I'll put some of those pictures up on the Facebook page. So all of you coaster boys who are out there like, I'm going to find out who EB is and try to friend him for real. No, don't do that. You could just go to CoasterRadio.com, find us Facebook.com/CoasterRadio. I'll put pictures there. You don't have to stalk me.
Do you get the stalkers? Do you get like coaster boy stalkers?
Every once in a while, I'm like, who's this guy trying to friend me on LinkedIn? It's a coaster boy.
I get that too.
I see your experience is I've ridden roller coasters.
I get that sometimes, too. I'm like, who the hell is this? Like, it has nothing
to do. My education is a degree in coasterology.
It's a lot of that. And I'm like, what the hell's going on? Like, who is this person that has nothing to do with television, but they want to come on as, like, a roller coaster expert? I'm like, I don't know, man. We like to keep the two lives separate, if you know what I mean.
Like George. Yeah. Worlds collide.
There you go. A little weird, but kind of funny. But yeah, so like EB said, it's all there for you on Facebook. So we're going to talk a little bit later on about EB's epic road trip. I can't wait to hear about all this. We're also going to have, better late than never, I say, the Sparktacular Explosiolusa.
Oh, that's good, Mike. So yeah, the 4th of July waits for no person, except for listeners of CoasterRadio.com.
That's right. So we're going to do what we always do here, get the microphones as close as we can to some real live fireworks. I'm actually looking out of the window of Studio A here at Lift Hill Media Studios, and we've got an intern this year who's actually going to be outside EB lighting the fireworks and holding the microphone for us. So this is going to be
good. Fire up the works.
So that's going to be great. I actually see him. He's out there. He's taking all the safety precautions. He's got the trash can full of water. Just in case something does happen, he can dump the water onto the fireworks. He's got the concrete blocks out there that he's putting the fireworks on. He's got the Zippo lighter and stuff. It's going to be great. It's going to be fantastic.
Oh, this sounds like a very high-tech operation.
Yeah, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. We've also got a live trip report from California's Great America's Gold Striker. We've got a couple of them, actually. People getting a chance to ride the new wooden roller coaster out there. And we'll talk a little bit about some of the problems they've been having with some noise issues, EB. People getting upset. Not that the ride is too loud, but that riders are screaming too loud.
Oh, this sounds like a PR gimmick to me, Mike.
It does a little bit. So we'll talk about that. Plus, a lot more. It's a great episode as the two of us are back. This is exciting.
That's right, but before we get to all that good stuff, we got to do our first drop.
Yes, indeed, it's first drop time here at CoasterRadio.com, where we take a look at some of the different news items that are happening in the amusement industry. We've got a couple this week, and one, it's a little bit old, but I wanted to wait for you to get back, EB, to talk about it, because while you were out on the road trip, it was announced that Ed Hart, who has been trying to resuscitate Kentucky Kingdom for what seems like a decade, he's just been trying to go at it for years and years. He has announced that Kentucky Kingdom, along with Hurricane Bay Water Park, is officially going to open in 2014.
I've heard this before, Mike, but I think this time it's for real.
Yeah, because now they've got like an official countdown clock on the website.
That makes it official for sure.
There we go. Basically, what they've said is that Kentucky Kingdom LLLLP.
That's an extra L. Couple extra L's.
Yes, they got a lot of L's in there. All of their partners have confirmed.
Totally legit.
Yeah, it's going to be
from
good.
Louisville.
Yeah, we got to check how many L's. I guess it's LLLP. There we go. I think just to get it correct there.
But they have, legit from Louisville for realsies this time.
There we go. The extra L is for Louisville. So, that's how it works. But they have confirmed that the funding is in place, EB, and all the contracts have been signed. They are going to take over and reopen the park next year. 2014 is the year.
Okay, fine. Do whatever you want.
Now, I think you would be excited about this because you get another independent park near you. You've got the world's greatest independent park, Holiday World. And now you've got another one.
Yeah, Holiday World, which is kind of, we'll have to talk about this on a different show, Mike, but Holiday World is kind of taking a turn for the dark side this season. So maybe Kentucky Kingdom will be my new homey park. We'll see how Ed Hart injects the family attitude into his park.
There we go. It should be interesting because, you know, we've done many shows about independent parks, and this is not a Six Flags park. This is not a Cedar Fair park. He's going to have a chance to kind of put his own imprint on this park. And, you know, he's been trying for years and years, putting a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into opening this park again, giving people in that region of the country a great
theme
park.
He's got the heart,
Mike. He does have the heart. That's what we should make buttons.
And talking about putting stuff into this, it's not just blood, sweat, and tears. He's putting dollars.
Yes.
He's got plans, Mike, to put in some roller coasters. He's going to blow up the water park and make that thing huge. So he not only is going to reopen this park, he's going to rebuild it.
Yeah. We've got all the details here. Let's run through these. The first thing they are planning to do is to add a new roller coaster to the park. So that's going to be new for 2014, but there are no details on that. So why don't we speculate on that at the end? We'll talk a little bit about what they could put into the park or maybe what is needed at the park.
A dragon coaster.
It might be what they have to start small, like you said. One of those little...
It's going to come on an 18-wheeler.
Yeah, there you go.
They'll unfold it. It'll be perfect.
Yeah, that might be what they have to do. So the next thing they're going to do is they are going to double the size of the water park.
Oh.
And so when I heard this, I was like, oh, really? Really? The water park is what they're going to go with first?
Well, last thing I heard from the water park with the Cook family was that the water park was zero.
Yeah.
Because Mark Shapiro left the pipes open while the winter freeze took effect and blew out the whole water park. So there's no water park. So doubling zero is still zero.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're going to double the size of that water park. And I wondered why. I wondered why they would do that. But then I remembered when Will Cook was on this show.
Yep, and
was talking
he needs to
about,
bring in some dollars. Yeah. And see, that's where you build out the water park. You get the people in for the water park. And that's going to finance your dry park.
There you go. Because the water park makes more money than the theme park. That's like a dirty little secret in this industry, I think. But a lot of people don't know that. But that does seem to happen. So what they're going to add is three new slide complexes and a 12,000 square foot wave pool. And something that I like, a high speed adventure river. Whatever that means.
Adventure river? What does that mean?
I like the idea. I like the sound of that, though. An adventure river.
So it's not a lazy river.
Yeah. A little bit quicker.
What's an adventure river?
I don't know.
An adventure river is basically a lazy river, except like crocodiles and flamethrowers.
Maybe so. That would be awesome if they had a flamethrower.
Fog machines and palm trees.
I would love a flamethrower going right over the lazy river. Like, so you have to duck down a little bit.
Adventure river.
Oh, that would be cool.
That's the difference.
That would be cool. Moving over to the dry park, they're going to reopen the Thunder Road wooden roller coaster in 2014.
Okay. I thought that was kind of like in really bad shape. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. So they've got a whole year to get that thing ready.
Yeah, they might need it.
They're also going to open Mile High Falls. Okay. They're also going to open up their 150-foot tall Ferris wheel.
Okay.
They're going to have the River Rapids ride running.
Good.
As well as the Thrill Park Theater. So those are going to be some of the attractions, as well as a bunch of others as well going on. Then looking ahead to 2015, they're planning a complete renovation to the park's existing T2 inverted roller coaster.
When I see that, I read that the T2 roller coaster is going to be closed for 2014.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like to me, that you probably won't have any access to that ride. Maybe, who knows, maybe they will, but that's the old Vekoma hang and bang there. So as far as I'm concerned, that's one I might skip, even if I did show up there.
And how do you renovate that anyway? Why don't you just get rid of it?
I wonder how you do renovate
the
coaster.
What does renovate mean?
How do you renovate a steel roller coaster unless you put on new trains and... I don't know, fix some of that.
To a 1992 movie.
Maybe. But then they're talking about in 2016 converting the former Twisted Twins wooden roller coasters into, and here's the quote, a much superior ride.
It is much superior for maximum enjoyment.
Yeah. So that makes me think, are they going to call the Gravity Group? Are they going to call Rocky Mountain Coasters? Is that what that means? Is that the code word for that, to make that ride kind of like the new Texas Giant or something?
No, because it's still a racing wooden roller coaster. What are they going to do with it?
I don't know. I mean, that's the thing. When it's a racing one, I mean, I guess you could do the Iron Horse treatment and just make it a smoother ride. You could do that. But I don't know if they're going to do what they did with, like, New Texas Giant.
But you're going to double the effort to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, or the one, you know, down in San Antonio where they completely reprofiled the track. I don't know if they're going to do any of that type of stuff.
You have to do the whole track once, and then it's like, no, you got to do it again.
Yeah. But here's something interesting.
It's not racing anymore. You just do it twice. There you go.
Here's something interesting, though, about the business side of this, is that Ed Hart is saying that the group that owns this park is now obligated by their 70-year lease. That's a long lease.
Well, Holiday World, didn't they sign like a 100-year lease before they backed out of it?
I do remember something like that. Yeah, that was what they were talking about. But anyway, the 70-year lease says that they have to invest at least $2.5 million a year into the park.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's a lot of money. You know, that's a lot to keep it going.
70 years? I mean, we're going to have like 3 zombie apocalypses and 4 alien invasions in 70 years. Yeah, that's a long time.
That is a long time. So
the Bizarro treatment on the GhostRadio.com chat room here live on Tuesday night. That's what Pity says. The Twisted Sisters are going to get the Bizarro treatment, along with the Adventure River, I guess.
There you go. Yeah, just buy a couple flamethrowers. Learn from Six Flags. That's what they did.
Lots of fog and strobe lights.
I love some good fog on a lazy river, though, EB. I tell you what, like, I love just sitting in my raft.
Much superior ride. Maximum fog treatments.
There you go. I would enjoy a couple audio animatronics along the river as I float by. I would like that.
You just need the hippo to come up, and then you got to shoot it.
There you go. It's like you're in the Jungle Cruise river. That's what they should do. Like, hey, you're not in a boat. You're actually in the river, and we've got some hippos and piranha.
The piranha's on the wheel.
I'd love it. Oh, man, we got to talk with Mr. Hart. We'll give him some ideas. We'll turn this park.
Ed Hart, what are you doing? What are you doing? This is Ed Hart. I see Ed Hart as kind of like the coaster boy that has always been dreaming of doing something and accomplishing something. Like, if only I could actually be alone with a girl for a little while, the things I would do with her. And then finally here, Ed Hart is, he has this park. Yep. He's been working at it so long. And he's making all these promises. Is he actually going to be able to come through with it? I don't know.
Oh, I hope so. I see him as like the modern day Walt Disney for that place, you know? Like,
what is this picture that you put on here? We've got on the rundown, Mike. You've got a new coaster for 2014 from Ed Hart. What is this thing? It just goes up and down and then goes over a bump.
Oh, I'm sorry. Actually, that is the water slide we're going to talk about next.
Oh, this is the water slide.
That's why I wanted to put it.
Like going to the water park.
Yeah, EB, on our rundown here, EB and I use Google Docs for our rundown.
And it's got a picture.
Yeah, it's got a picture this week. Normally, I don't put pictures, but I wanted you to see this because it looks so amazing to me. It is the brand new rumored water slide at Schlitterbahn, Kansas City. They are talking about building this. I know it looks like a roller coaster, but
this is not an Ed Hart thing. Okay, I thought this was going into the Six Flags Hurricane Bay.
No. This is
Schlitterbahn.
Yeah, this is at Schlitterbahn, and I know it looks like a roller coaster.
Ed Hart, done. We're done with you.
Yeah, we're done.
This water slide looks awesome.
Yeah, it is called, I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly, Verrucket. I hope I'm saying that right, and I don't know what that means.
At Schlitterbahn.
Yeah, maybe that's some type of German word or something. But
we are in America still, right?
We need to post this. We got to figure out what's going on with them. We have to post this on Facebook and on our zine where we put our show notes. You guys need to take a look at this because basically, and this is rumored at the moment, but what this artwork looks like is it's a 180-foot hill where they are going to put riders in a 4-person raft, seated 4 in a row, kind of bobsled style.
Okay.
And they're
so
saying,
this is like water coaster, it seems like so far.
Yeah, and they're saying by the time you hit the bottom of that hill, you're traveling 78 miles per hour.
I don't want to go 78 miles an hour unless I have the wheels on the track.
I love it.
A boat.
And then what's amazing, after you get to the bottom of the hill,
there's like the little bunny hop.
Yeah, there's like a bunny hop airtime hill right after that. And
that
I don't know.
That does not seem like a good idea.
I don't know if they're going to use the Master Blaster technology to get you up that hill or if you have enough power.
It doesn't
power.
Look like you need to.
Yeah, because if it's going 78 miles per hour at the bottom, maybe you have enough. But I kind of like this. This is like a thrill ride water slide. You know,
oh
like,
my gosh.
Like even more than the Insano down in Brazil and stuff, which is just, you know, straight down. Imagine going straight down on a gigantic 180-foot drop, which is taller than a lot of roller coasters, actually.
Oh, Schlitterbahn, no, this is not good. Mike, I'm looking at this picture again, and we'll of course have the picture up on the blog and the Facebook page and everything like that. This picture that you've posted, Mike, has the lift hill, has the 180-foot drop, but it also has stairs. That's not good.
You have to walk up 180 feet.
I don't have to go up 18 flights of stairs. I mean, and even worse, are they going to make me carry my raft? No, I guess it does have the little hill up
there. Yeah.
So I should be able to get on. This is something I love about Holiday World with Mammoth and Wildebeest is the fact that you board at ground level. You actually go up the conveyor belt to start the ride. No stairs.
Yeah.
So if this ride at Schlitterbahn, I can board at the bottom and then have the experience of going up to the top of this thing, I'm all in. If I got to climb those stairs, that makes it not worth it.
I agree with you 100% because I would think that would build some of the anticipation of the ride, of actually boarding it at the bottom, riding
going up.
Going
up a conveyor belt, that'd be awesome.
180 feet and then like kind of doing a slow turnaround and then hitting that big drop, man. That'd be pretty wild. But you know what I love about this, EB, is that it's four people to a raft. So it's not like you're just riding it by yourself. You can enjoy it with all your friends, too. I like that. Right.
And everybody, you know, on a water ride, you kind of get to snug in there with those naked thighs on those four-person bobsled rafts.
Yeah, you gotta,
so you go in there with you and your friend, and it's like, well, who's going to snuggle up to the stranger?
Oh, you got to really like the people you're with.
I'll hold on to your ankles, Mr. Fat Guy.
Yeah, I don't. No, I don't like that at all, so. So I like the old Verucket at Schlitterbahn, Kansas City. That's pretty cool.
Verucket or whatever it is at Schlitterbahn. I like it. You got some promise here. You got to eliminate the stairs and give me some sort of like, I don't know, invisible barrier against the fat weird dude at the water park. And then I think I'm in.
Yeah, they need to make it like the Splash Mountain boats, you know, where there's a little bit of something in between
give
each
me
person.
Give me a little chair or something action.
Yeah, I don't want to touch some dude's thighs. That's really like what it comes down to me.
Or some dude's thighs touching you.
Yeah, yeah, either way. Either way it goes, it would not be a pleasant experience for me. So I like that, though. But yeah, we got to find out what Verucket means because it makes me want to say, I cried two tears in a bucket. Verucket. Which should be the tagline.
Right.
It'll make you cry two tears in a bucket.
Verucket.
Verucket. Oh, man. So, so right now, totally rumored, there's this artwork out there. We'll post it for you guys.
I like
And vote for yourself there.
It's a good picture, Mike.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited about it. It's
not
funny.
Feeling those stairs, but I like it.
Yeah, I know. Too bad they won't put that at Kentucky Kingdom, you know? They should think about it. But who knows, you know?
$2.5 million a year, Ed Hart might have to buy one.
There you go. Yeah, but Schlitterbahn always like innovates all these cool water slides and stuff. So I bet you know, if it's a hit there, we'll start seeing it at other places, too.
Sure.
I am excited. Now is the time. Let's talk about the epic EB road trip that has been happening all across the great United States over the past couple weeks.
Okay. So the long and short of it is, Mike, that we did a big West Coast going to the Pacific Ocean road trip. So we departed Indiana, went through Nebraska, Colorado, the Rocky Mountain National Park. We went to the Bonneville Salt Flats in Utah.
Oh, yeah.
Down into Reno, back up through the lava beds in California, Oregon coast. Then back home, we went through Glacier National Park, Yosemite, the Badlands, down through Minneapolis and Wisconsin, back to Indiana. So big old road trip, 7,000 plus miles. It was awesome.
Wow. Do you have an exact mileage or did you just kind of guess?
It was 7,375 miles.
Wow.
And it was me, the wife, and three kids, 4, 6, and 8.
That is brave, man. That is like...
It was awesome.
I said it was like Griswoldian. Like it was Clark Griswold with the kids in the back seat, Ellen sitting next to you. You know, the whole thing. The whole thing you did. It was great.
It was the whole thing. And I was like Clark driving that car through the desert. Like, there's no girls in convertibles next to me. It's just desert. This is not fair. I saw the movie. It's not working out.
Do you have a favorite thing that you saw and a least favorite thing that you saw? Was there something that was totally like, oh my God, this is not what I pictured?
The coolest thing was Lava Beds National Monument in Northern California. This is out in the middle of nowhere. And it's essentially, there's two kinds of volcanoes in the world. There's the pointy ones like Mount St. Helens, where the top blows up and you know the lava comes down the mountain. And then there's the other kind where it's flat. And the lava just comes out of the ground.
Yeah.
And that's lava beds like a million years ago. It just came out of the ground. But there's lava tubes where the magma came out of the ground.
Ah.
And then after the lava came out and then it kind of receded, it left the tubes in the ground. And now they're caves and you can go in them.
Oh, those are pretty cool. I have had a chance to do that before and see the lava beds before. And it's unlike anything. Like, it's so unnatural. It feels like you're on a different planet when you go through
that stuff. It's really, really weird. And so if you live near caves and things like that, and you go on, like, the cave tours, and you get in the boat, and you go in the cave, or you go in the cave, and it's like the tour guide has jokey stories, and there's lights and paved paths. That's not what this is. This is actually like, oh, yeah, there's a cave down there. It's a mile and a half long. Take your six-year-old and be sure to bring a flashlight. It gets dark down there. And just go.
And it's where the lava came through, you know?
And it's really weird. And so you just go into these caves and there's no worries and, you know, no restrictions. You just kind of go and explore caves. And
yeah.
I've never experienced anything like that. It was really, really awesome.
That is cool. And the sad thing is, I think there are a lot of people out there who don't even know that things like that exist, you know, like,
no.
And will never see it. And it's one of those things that you have to go and seek out and check out.
For sure. And I think that's why they're still open, is that the fact that they're out in the middle of nowhere and nobody knows about it. Anybody who's going there is going there with the purpose of going there and doing right by nature and things like that. Because you can just imagine, like, the theme park punks, the teenagers and things like that,
exactly.
Going in there like Sharpie on the walls and like chiseling out their names and causing trouble. And so I think that's why they put those things, you know, when they put those million year old geological sites. And when they decide where to put them, they put them in the middle of nowhere for a reason.
Yeah. I remember standing at the lava beds and just, like, with my mouth open, like, I can't believe what I'm looking at. This is so weird, so foreign. Like, it's just not something that you see in Washington, D.C., you know?
It's very otherworldly. And
the
salt flats were like that, too, the Bonneville salt flats, where it's just nothingness all around you forever. And it's just the white salt, and it's just bizarre.
Was there any bummer on the trip, like something that you saw that you're like, oh, this is not as advertised?
Oh, sorry, anybody from Rapid City, but your city sucks.
Rapid City, South Dakota?
Yeah, Rapid City, South Dakota is mostly like really grumpy people who are lame.
Yeah.
Something I learned about the West is you've seen the movies about the Wild West towns where – out, you know, back in the day, the pioneers went through and the Wild West and all this stuff. And then there's the gunslingers and there was no law and all this stuff. And the bad guys would come and then all the scared people would close their doors, you know, and hide when the battle was about to, the gunfight was about to happen.
Yep.
Those people are the people that mostly lived in the town. And so the people that live in the town now out in the West are descendants of those sad and afraid cowards.
They've never moved.
They've never moved.
They've sticked around.
And so that's
cowards.
I think all of the people there are sad and afraid in the West.
Yeah.
For
all
the
cowards.
Most part, I'm sorry, people that live in the West, but that's my assessment of you. And Rapid City especially was kind of like that. And Rapid City especially, I was kind of down on Rapid City because I was prepared to be underwhelmed and have massive disappointment with Mount Rushmore.
Yes.
And I was not disappointed in how disappointed I was.
There you go. And that's the key.
In Mount Rushmore.
Yeah. Just like roller coasters, you use the same theory from Mount Rushmore, and then it was okay.
Right. So we drove from Rapid City, from our weird, creepy campground, where there was the Indian, feather Indian, there, and he was, like, totally drunk all the time.
Oh.
And we drove down to Mount Rushmore. And as you're descending the hill into what you're thinking is going to be a beautiful national park, like all of the other awesome national parks and monuments that you visited on this road trip, and then you come around the corner and you go through a tunnel and you come down to the end and it's like flashing lights. Actually, you're in Gatlinburg. There's like go-karts and there's souvenir stands and it's just awful. And then you drive up to Mount Rushmore and it's $11 to park in a parking garage in front of Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, that's not something you see in, like, the National Treasure movies. You don't see any of that stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so I was really upset about this, but I had kind of prepared myself because people told me what to expect. And I had actually done I had done my research, Mike, on this part. So I had realized the guy that designed Mount Rushmore, he came up with the idea basically as a dumb tourist gimmick to get people to come to South Dakota.
Oh,
yeah. And I was like, dude, I got to give you props because it worked.
It made you come. Yeah, he wasn't hiding some like Indian treasure behind it or anything. That's what I heard.
No, you got to
yeah,
like okay. twist, you know, George Washington's nostril or anything yeah, like that. Go. No, nothing like that. So we did Mount Rushmore. We did all of that stuff. But the cool thing I got to talk to the CoastRadio.com audience, of course, is the Nickelodeon Universe at Mall of America.
Yes. Now I have always wanted to go to Mall of America, not just to see the theme park stuff, but just to marvel.
It's legendary,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, because it's so huge, it's so gigantic, and you get a chance to see it.
Yeah, so we were there. That was the tail end of our trip. It was actually July 4th when we went. And so we went there on the evening of July 4th, and everything was closed. And I was so confused because I was like, here it is. It's a holiday. I would think the mall and the amusement park in the middle of this mall
yeah.
would be open. But no, it was like 6 o'clock, and the whole place was shut down.
That's kind of surprising.
Yeah, you could walk around, you could see everything, but you could kind of put your face up against the glass of the Lego place and look in at the Legos, and you could go and you could walk around the Nickelodeon Universe amusement park, but everything was not running. There were no employees. The gates were down in front of all the shops in Mall of America. So we said, okay, we're going to make a plan. We're going to come back in the morning. We're going to be first in line for this stuff. And that's exactly what we did.
Oh, just like Clark Griswold, being the first one in the parking lot.
That's right. That's what we were. First one in the parking lot. So we parked on the east parking lot the first day, and we parked on the west parking lot the next day so we could get the experience of both sides. And then we went into Nickelodeon Universe half an hour early, bought our points, which is kind of funny because Nickelodeon Universe is a pay-per-ride park, or you buy a wristband to ride all day.
Okay.
And mm-hmm. since we knew we had to leave by lunchtime to keep going on our road trip, we bought the points, and we bought like the intergalactic galaxy level of points or whatever it is for 50 points, which is basically $50. And we were going to share these with the family, and we were ready. We had our points. We calculated how much it was going to be to ride these rides. What we didn't realize after we looked at the little map that we had was that chaperones – ride for free on a lot of these mid-level rides.
Okay. So there you go. A little freebie.
So this was really surprising to us because you ride the roller coasters, and just like a lot of our rides at a lot of amusement parks where there's a minimum height requirement where it says, okay, you have to be 48 inches to ride or 42 inches with an adult.
Hmm.
Well, at Nickelodeon Universe, they call the adults chaperones. So if you're in that magic zone as a kid between 42 and 48, you get your parent on for free.
About that, and that's right where some of your kids are, aren't they?
That's exactly where my kids were. I should have sold my kids at the parking lot to people going into this place. No, because I had the one kid, Madeline. She was between 36 and 42, so I was riding for free on all of her rides.
Sweet.
But then Dean was between 42 and 48. I was riding for free on all of his rides too.
So am I right? And because I did a little bit of research on what Nickelodeon Universe, some of the rides there. Am I right in thinking that that means you got to use some of those $50 worth of points on some of the pretty decent roller coasters there?
we rode all the roller coasters, of course. We rode all the roller coasters. And Dean, my six-year-old, he rode his first roller coasters at Nickelodeon Universe. And they were – see, this is the cool thing that I – my review of Nickelodeon Universe at this amusement park – and it used to be a Snoopy park a while ago.
Yeah.
But now it's Nickelodeon. They've done a really great job of theming this park. It has all of the characters that any kid would want, or even the adults are going to recognize, you know, Danny Phantom and SpongeBob and all of these guys. Ninja Turtles, of course, are there now. And
nice.
You know, Jimmy Neutron, all these guys. Dora the Explorer is there, Diego. And so the kids were going bonkers for all of this stuff. And the rides, you would think with all of this theming and all the money they're investing with the licensing and things, they might suck. Every ride in this park is quality.
Wow. How about that? Because, of course, this used to be Camp Snoopy, owned by Cedar Fair.
Right.
And then, you know, basically the Mall of America came in and kind of took over the park, have all the Nickelodeon licensing and stuff. So I would think the same thing, that the rides might suck because all the money is going into the characters and licensing. But yeah, how about that?
No, they're really good. So the first ride that we rode in the morning was the one that Mark had been promised, my oldest, my 8-year-old, had been promised he was going to ride since the beginning of the trip. And he was like, this was the thing that I like threatened him with in the car on the road trip. Like, you're not going to ride it. You're not going to ride it if you keep acting up. No, it's the SpongeBob SquarePants Rock Bottom Plunge. It's a Eurofighter.
Yes.
It's Eurofighter indoors.
How about that?
It's fantastic. So we were there. We were waiting, sitting on the little, you know, again, incredibly well-themed queue line. So you're sitting there, and it's all, you know, concrete, painted concrete. inside this place, and they have cactuses and snake plants and things, so it actually looks kind of underwater-ish. Wow. And everything's painted in that SpongeBob style that we all know and love. And you start hearing SpongeBob stuff as they start firing up the sound effects and the music in the park. And then when we get up there, he loved it. This Eurofighter, it takes you straight up, you know, the 90-degree lift hill into the ceiling of Mall of America. It's the big glass dome. And yeah. I was reading one review of the ride. It was like, oh, wouldn't it be fun to ride this ride in a rainstorm?
Oh, yeah.
And this underwater-themed ride going straight up into the glass, and it's raining on you. But then you go over. It's the steeper than 90 degrees. You go in the big loop, and a corkscrew and the whole thing. And it was awesome. So that was the first ride that we rode.
Yeah, and that's a pretty intense ride for a little guy, too. So I'm liking that he likes it. That's great. Oh,
he has no fear whatsoever. And then the next one we went to, so Madeline, my youngest, she had gone past the Blue's Skidoo. So this is Blue's Clues. And this is really just a little roundup kind of ride. It's a kiddie ride. We rode the Blue's Clues ride, and she loved that, of course. And then it was Dean's turn to pick a ride that he wanted to ride, and he wanted to ride a roller coaster, his first roller coaster. Yes. This is my six-year-old. And we rode the Pepsi Orange Streak.
Listen to all these names. You got
Pepsi. The Pepsi ride. And this is a weird one because a couple of these rides in the Nickelodeon universe, they've done so well with like heavily theming them, like the Blue Skidoo and the Rock Bottom Plunge for SpongeBob SquarePants, the yeah. Fairly Odd Coaster that I'll talk about a little bit later, and all of these other rides. But then some of them had no theming whatsoever.
Was this one of them? The Pepsi one?
Not pay attention here because there's a ride and you didn't make it be a Nickelodeon thing. So yeah, the Pepsi Orange Streak. It's like, why is it a Pepsi ride? Yeah. But then they also had Ghost Blasters, which is just a Sally Dark ride where you shoot the ghosts or whatever and you hit the targets. But it's like, why is it called Ghost Blasters? Why wouldn't you theme this Nickelodeon?
Yeah, maybe they
but
ran
they had
out.
A few of those all throughout the park and I was very confused.
They're waiting anyway, for the next theme, I think, you know, whatever the next thing from Nickelodeon is.
Yeah, they're waiting for the next cartoon to come out. So we rode the Pepsi Orange Streak. And this is a ride that if you read the reviews of it, people don't like this ride. It's kind of dumb. It's slow. But if you think of it as a slow kiddie coaster and just a really long, slow kiddie coaster, it's actually pretty good. Cool. If you try to ride this ride as a thrill ride, you're not going to get it. What's cool about it is this is a massive indoor park in the Orange Streak, takes you all around the park.
Nice.
And that's pretty cool. It also has, I thought this was cool, Mike, the longest train I've ever seen on a roller coaster.
Wow.
16 cars.
Wow, that is pretty long.
Really long.
Yeah.
And then that was kind of what made it kind of neat, and maybe that's why it gets the name Orange Streak, is that like it tricks your eyes into thinking it's going fast because it's so long. I don't know. But it takes you all around the park, and Dean just loved that ride, and he was geared up after that to ride the Fairly Odd Coaster.
Wow. And see, this is pretty cool that like this is his first big roller coaster experience and that he's loving it. That's pretty neat.
He's loving it. And then we rode the Fairly Odd Coaster. The Fairly Odd Coaster, this is basically, it's a spinning roller coaster. So it's kind of like a spinning Wild Mouse, but way more intense because it's got a lot more hills. And I told Dean, I was like, Dean, this is the most intense roller coaster in the park. And he's like, I could do it. I'm not as scared of anything. And he actually, we have this roller coaster book. It's like a children's book where the people go and they ride the roller coaster. And one of the lines in the book is, the lap bars are down and you're going up the hill. You can't get off now. And so that was his thing. He's like, I'm in it now. I can't get off. I have to go.
See, that's great. You and I should have come up with that book, like a kiddie book for the kids to get them excited.
So the Fairly Odd Coaster, this thing, you go up. It's just the four-person car and you're all by yourself. And it's got some hills. It's got some dips. It's throwing you around. And again, I love an indoor park because you're so close to all of the scenery and everything around you. It's not like the open-air parks where you kind of don't get a point of reference. With this stuff, you're literally flying by structures, other rides, theming.
Yeah.
Right next to you. It seems way more intense than it probably really is. But Dean, he went through this one like a champ. And so that was the third roller coaster we rode.
That's fantastic. This sounds like a really cool park. And I totally agree with you. I like the indoor parks because they have to be very creative about where they put the rides.
everything interacts with another ride. And that's something we talk about all the time, is how much better a ride is when it interacts with another ride.
Sure. Because it, like you said, it makes it that much faster, you know, that much more thrilling. I mean, even in the Roller Coaster Tycoon game, that's what they always tell you. Put rides next to each other because it ups the thrill factor. So I remember.
Exactly. No, and this park is so compact. And that's like I was saying before, with everything being so good at this park, the fact that it is so compact and squeezed into this tiny indoor space, it makes it that much better. You could easily buy the wristband at this park and ride everything five or six times and have a great day, because every ride in this park is good. The log chute, this is one that I was really surprised about. You look at it, you think it's just a regular dumb log flume in some sort of fiberglass mountain in the corner of this mall inside this park. It's actually one of the best log flume rides I've ever been on. Wow. I would put it up there. You know, it's right up there with Splash Mountain.
How about that? That's high praise right there.
Yeah, it's got two different drops. It's got huge theming inside where you go through the old mining town. You see Babe the Blue Ox. You got a giant Paul Bunyan swinging his axe at you during the thing. It's great. It's really, really impressive for a log flume ride. Yeah. And you don't see that too often. It's usually just, you know, you go around in some woods, you go up a hill, you go down, and exactly. Then you're done.
Let me ask you this. If you weren't there with your kids and you were just there with your wife, or if you and I had gone or something like that, is it something adults could enjoy, or is it really aimed at a younger audience?
No, absolutely adults could enjoy this, because that was something else I was surprised with. They did such a good job of mixing the kid rides with the intense adult rides, because not only did they have, you know, the kid rides like the Blue Skidoos, and they have a big rig where it's just the trucks going around. They have the carousel. They have a train. They have a kiddie Ferris wheel and stuff like that. They have some serious flat rides go along with these pretty decent roller coasters. They've got Shell Shock, which is the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles ride, which is hard to explain. It's single seats, and you kind of have your own wings that you can manipulate. And so as it just flies around, you can hold those straight, or you can flip them back and forth and actually put yourself into rotations.
Nice.
They have the Brain Surge, which is kind of like an apple turnover on crack, where, again, you have the ability to select. Do you just want to go around in a circle straight up, or do you want to push the lever forward and ride it upside down, or do you want to roll with it and actually kind of flip upside down over and over again? Then they have the Airbender ride, which goes back and forth, and that's the spinning coaster sort of thing. They have a Splatosphere, which is a frog hopper that goes however high it goes, way up in the air, much more intense than a regular frog hopper. They've got a Chance Falling Star. They've got the log chute, like I was mentioning before. They've got a decent set of bumper cars, and then they've got a kiddie bumper cars. Wow. And then they have the largest, the Dutchman's Deck, which is right next to the SpongeBob SquarePants roller coaster. The Dutchman's Deck is the tallest Sky Trail ropes course in the world. So the Sky Rail ropes course, this is the one where you have to put the harness on and you kind of latch into the thing above you.
Yeah.
And you walk across either like the little bridge or the ropes or whatever. But this one goes up like six different levels. And so you're way, it's so scary. I did not want to go on this thing because it's really just you're in this harness that this teenager put you into. And then you carabiner yourself into this thing above you and you walk. And it's like, if this thing fails, I'm dead.
Yeah, that's what always worries me about the sky coasters, is that it's some teenager hooking you into all that stuff, and I wonder how much.
It's like a bungee cord or a couple of ropes or whatever, and that's exactly what this Sky Trail thing is. So, yeah, it goes up like six different levels, and then the cool thing about it, though, is that if you do it, and it's like $8 or whatever it is to do this thing, and you walk through the course, at the top, there's a giant slide.
Oh, and you come all the way down.
And so you come all the way down. So, yeah, if I was to do a full day, like you were saying, Mike, if it was me and you, and we bought the wristband and we did this, Nickelodeon Universe would be a fantastic, thrilling experience, I think. And you would have a great time. It's clean. It's inside. It's cool. You got a great mix of flat rides and thrill rides. But you've also got the entire mall to go out and get some food and get some cup of coffee or whatever you got to get right there in the mall. It's an awesome place.
You got to love that, especially that you can come in and out, and that they've put so many rides in 7 acres. Like, that's it. They've got 7 acres for Nickelodeon Universe, but so many attractions in there. That's pretty
cool. It's all packed in. And I was really, really, like I was saying, impressed with the theming, the way that they were able to segregate the rides and make them their own. Like that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle ride, there's not a lot of space, but they did theme it into a New York City street scene. Yeah. They had the sewers out there. They had the ride operator's like little hut or whatever looks like a pizza cart.
I like
you know, that would
yeah.
be on the street of New York City. And yeah. so as much space as they have, they made the most with the space that they have. And so there is no wasted space. And that's what I think makes it such a cool experience.
That's awesome. So the moral of this trip report is that Nickelodeon Universe at Mall of America, good. The entire state of South Dakota, bad.
Oh, just about. Just about the entire state.
Yeah. You know what's
so
funny?
Sorry, South Dakota.
Yeah. Well, here's let me tell you about
not
something.
Like your Wi-Fi is working for you to hear this anyway.
Well, you know, EB, I think nobody in South Dakota listens because we get a report from our web hosting company that hosts the podcast for us, and I get a map where I can see how many people are listening in every state of the
South
United
Dakota
States.
Is shaded in a very deep white.
Yes, actually, EB, there's only one state where no one listens, where we've never had one download, and that is the state. It's South Dakota. No one has ever listened to Coaster Radio in that state.
I believe it, Mike.
So you know what I'm thinking? And this goes back to something that our friends Don and Mike, who we used to listen to here in DC, used to do. Is it worth you and me on a future show making a call to South Dakota? Maybe we call a bar somewhere, or we just call someone and try to get somebody in that state to listen to Coaster Radio.
Just beg them.
Just go, just look.
Ask them, please look. We need to shade in this state.
We need just one list. I mean, isn't that odd that, like, out of the thousands of people who have listened all over the world, not one person in that state has listened?
Our map goes from, it's a gradient. It's like a light blue to a dark blue, and you guys are white.
Yes, it really is kind of amazing.
Can we please get you, like, that lightest shade of blue?
Like, it's weird. Even in, like, small countries like Uzbekistan, somebody has listened to
us. We got an Uzbekistan listener. You know? We have a Luxembourg listener.
Yeah. I mean, pretty much any other spot in the world. Like, I've even seen spots in the North Pole. People somehow are listening to Coaster Radio there. But in North Dakota?
That's a spot up at the Santa Claus's workshop.
Yeah. I mean, some elf up there listening to the show, but like nobody in North Dakota. And so if it sounds to me like the people there aren't that much fun or they don't have a lot of theme parks or something, maybe that's what's happening. I don't know. That's something we need to dig into, I think.
I think so. Maybe we need to talk more about really crappy mazes or like lame mini golf.
There we go. We'll do a lame mini golf show next week and see if we can
do an episode all about lame mini golf, and then the South Dakota listeners are going to completely tune in.
How about that? Isn't that funny, though? It's true. That's what's happened. So
that's awesome.
Well, that sounds like a fantastic trip, but we are happy to have you back here, EB.
We had a great time, Mike. It was a lot of fun. And no, I loved my visit to Mall of America, but I also loved, of course, seeing this great country of ours.
Yes.
And everything in it.
7,000 miles. That's something else. So I bet you're
not. A lot of stuff. I saw a moose. I even saw a moose.
Marty
a real
moose.
Moose.
Yeah, there you go. Are you happy to be home
now? I didn't have to punch it in the nose or anything.
There you go. Are you happy to be back home now, though? Like putting your feet up, relaxing?
Not relaxing at all. I got to unpack the car.
Oh, gosh. That's true.
I just got back.
Well, why don't we give you a little bit of a break right now? We'll take a quick break so you can catch your breath, have a quick drink. And then when we come back, everybody, we're going to have a live trip report. Actually, two of them from California's Great America. We're going to hear about how the Gold Striker is doing out there. And then it is time for a CoasterRadio.com 4th of July tradition, the Sparktacular Explosiolusa.
I'm excited for that, Mike.
It's coming up right after this.
This is CoasterRadio.com.
Are you thinking about doing some online shopping at Amazon.com sometime soon? Did you know there's an easy and free way to support Coaster Radio at the same time? Before you start your Amazon.com shopping, head to CoasterRadio.com first and click on the Amazon logo. That link will take you directly to their site, and then you shop like normal. That's it. That's all you have to do. Because you're listening to this message, Amazon.com sends Coaster Radio a small percentage of whatever you spend. You pay nothing extra. If you buy a $10 shirt, the shirt will still cost $10. You'd be surprised at how much this helps the show. So the next time you need to shop at Amazon, head to CoasterRadio.com first. It's a free and easy way to support the original theme park podcast.
Welcome back, everybody, to the original theme park podcast. It is CoasterRadio.com. My name is Mike Collins. I am back here with EB. Good to have you back, EB.
It's great to be back, Mike.
And thanks to all of you guys for all your help. I know we do those spots every week with Amazon. We want to thank all of you guys who do go to CoasterRadio.com before doing your Amazon.com shopping and clicking on that little link. That is a gigantic help to the success of this program.
It definitely makes a difference.
So we really do appreciate that. Why don't we go right now to the CoasterRadio.com voicemail line. It is time to hear two live trip reports. We will just play these back to back. Actually, we'll play Jeremy's first, and then we'll talk a little bit about it, and then we'll hear from Dr. Sam. They were both at California's Great America and had a chance to ride Gold Striker. So let's hear if that new roller coaster is a hit.
Hey, Coaster Radio, it's Jeremy at California's Great America. I just got off their fancy new wooden roller coaster, Gold Striker. and it was pretty amazing one that I got built with all the noise complaints it's had. But it is probably the best wooden roller coaster, at least in California. Crowd's not too bad. I'm tempted to go wait in the line, but not very well shaded. It's going to be pretty hot, thankfully. Got on a little earlier. Yep, great ride. Hope you all come to California. Bye.
All right. Thank you very much, Jeremy. It's always funny with the Cedar Fair parks. I don't know what it is, but they never have shade in the queues. That's what everybody always complains about with those parks.
It's not hard to put up some shade. Come on, guys.
Yeah. But anyway, I mean, for a first review that we're hearing from Gold Striker, people liking that roller coaster. And you heard Jeremy saying it there, the best wooden roller coaster in the whole state of California.
There you go. That's pretty bold.
Cool. That's pretty cool. So, you know, sometimes you would think, I guess.
Feel like you struck gold. That's their tagline.
There we go. Why don't we go now to Dr. Sam? She's going to follow up with her review of Gold Striker.
Hey, guys. It's Dr. Sam giving you a live trip report from Gold Striker here in beautiful and sunny Northern California. It's been a fantastic day so far. It's a really, really great, smooth coaster. All of the great stuff that you come to expect from GCI. Going through the tunnel was amazing. I imagine that tonight is going to be a really, really great dark experience, but during the daytime it's really, really nice and light. The track is very, very smooth. It's got some nice high bank turns, so it's just an overall really great experience. So guys, hopefully you can come out and enjoy this really awesome coaster. I think this is going to make something really, really special, even more special for this park. Okay, thanks a lot. Bye.
All right, thank you very much, Dr. Sam. You know, EB, when we first were looking at the animations of this video, I think one of the things that you and I said was that the cool thing about this roller coaster is it wasn't gimmicky. It was just like an old-fashioned wooden roller coaster filled with the hills and the banks and stuff, but no crazy stuff like we're hearing from all these other wooden roller coasters.
No, it looks like a really fun ride, and that's kind of what the reviews are coming in with.
Yeah, and I know we were also, when we had the guys from Great America on the show, and we were talking about the tunnel that they added, actually going down the whole first drop, and they called it the drop shaft. I think they even like announced that here on the show and stuff. A cool idea, and like Dr. Sam said, it's probably cooler at night. Because you really drop down into that darkness and stuff. But there was something interesting that happened while you were away, is that for a couple days, they actually had to shut down the Gold Striker roller coaster.
Right. This is early last week, right?
Yeah. And not because of anything wrong with the ride, but it was due to noise complaints.
Yes. The thing that I'm reading here says, The thrill of the ride causes screaming passengers to slightly exceed city noise standards.
I like that. That sounds like something out of England, doesn't it? Like the way they talk about that.
It slightly exceeds.
Like the whole ride is so scary that it's making people scream more than normal, which I kind of dig that. I like the spin they put on it. That's a nice spin, you know?
That's right. That's what the park official said, is that it's so awesome. People are screaming.
Yeah. And so supposedly, like, the neighbors, I guess anybody who lives in the area of Great America, were upset about this. They weren't digging it. So much to the point, EB, where I think that they were kind of protesting a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. No, and what's funny is this wasn't like a neighborhood that was up in arms. It's not like there was somebody who was like, my baby can't sleep. It was a building owner nearby actually filed a lawsuit.
Wow.
Against the city of Santa Clara.
Yeah, and you know what's funny?
And so this whole thing is out of a settlement where they decided to voluntarily close the ride. Mm-hmm. They monitored the noise, and then they installed this quote unquote, noise abatement equipment.
Ah, yes. And basically what it was is they added another 70 feet of tunnel to the drop shaft. So I guess that takes care of the screams inside.
They also put an old librarian on the front of the roller coaster going, shh,
be quiet, have some respect.
There's a crotchety building owner here. Shh. Keep your voices down.
I do like that. Actually, EB, I'm not sure if this is the same person or if this is somebody different, but I was actually able to go to this thing that I have at work where you can pull news stories down from the satellite and mm-hmm. you can actually get sound bites and stuff. I've got a sound bite. What was happening is there was some crazy dude standing.
Oh, is this the building owner, the guy?
I don't know if this is him or somebody else, but there was somebody standing outside of the gates of Great America and he had a bullhorn. And he's just yelling outside, and I've got some of the noise from that.
Hold it, fellas. I'm afraid you're just too darn loud. Next place.
He was calling for the next roller coaster. That's done with it.
That's right. He wanted somebody different.
Sorry, fellas.
Was that Huey Lewis? I think it might have been him yelling.
Sorry, fellas.
I think he is from San Francisco. That's kind of close up there. Maybe that's what was going on.
It's too darn loud.
You're just too darn loud. Next, please. So, you always got to have a Back to the Future quote standing by, but I just imagine.
That's pretty lame. I mean, who owns a building? Who owns a piece of property next to an amusement park? Ah, there's too much joyful exclamations coming from the other side of the fence. Where did you move in?
That's so funny. Yeah, because hasn't that been happening all along?
Like, oh, I moved into the sulfur plant. I had no idea that the stench would be so. What did you seriously? What did you think it was going to be like?
Yeah, I don't know if it was Huey Lewis, man. It could have been.
Hold on, fellas. I'm afraid you're just too darn loud. Next, please.
Next, please.
He seems so nonchalant about the guy in the news story, I think, seemed a bit more hot-headed than that.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. That, maybe that's somebody else different. But I just have a vision of Huey Lewis standing outside the gate with a bullhorn and his glasses and the plaid
just
jacket.
Just kind of perturbed. Sorry.
Next,
come
please.
On.
Next, please.
Well, speaking of hot-headed, Mike.
It is time to get totally hot-headed, and I am hoping that the intern who is standing outside is ready.
You have somebody there.
I do have somebody. They're actually standing outside right now getting ready. I've explained to them all of the safety procedures, but it is time for the 4th of July tradition here at CoasterRadio.com. It is the 2013 Sparktacular Explosiolusa.
I'm so excited.
I'm so excited. And this is basically our...
Where's the music going?
I know. You gotta love like the spectacular, sparktacular music, the patriotic music going on. Here, basically, we are paying tribute to two different things. First of all, the name Sparktacular Explosiolusa is a tribute to all of the crazy Disney names, such as...
the terrible names.
Yeah. Fantasmic, Spectro Magic, all of these different things that they come up with, Illuminations. We have come up with our own here, and it is the Sparktacular Explosiolusa.
Yes, take two words and combine them together to make one word, so Sparktacular Explosiolusa.
I love it. It's a tradition going on as far back as 2005, and this is where we pay tribute to the great Flava, who first went into my backyard, much like the intern is standing out there right now ready to do. He took the wireless microphone and risked life and limb to bring you guys the sounds of fireworks. He got that microphone as close as he could to the sparks. I remember the arm hair was singed, DB. I just remember seeing that. It was shocking. But it's something we are going to recreate tonight for all of you.
We do it every year, and this year is no different, Mike, so let's do this.
So I am looking outside. We've actually got four fireworks here. We're in the suburbs of Northern Virginia, so these are the ones that we are allowed to have here. And one of the traditions, I had to look long and hard for this, EB, but I have the cuckoo. The cuckoo is back for this year.
Oh, we got to have the cuckoo.
What we try to do is get fireworks that are not only pretty to look at, but also very loud. So this is called cuckoo.
They got to make noise, Mike, because it's an audio podcast,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we're radio, so we've got to make it as loud as we can. So what I've got here, EB, is this is not only a cuckoo, but it also has the killer bees on there. So,
is these the ones on the side that shoot up?
Yes. So as you hear, you will hear the killer bees that are like attached to the side of this firework start to like
the killer bees.
Yeah, they like fly off into the air and make little pew pew sound, so that's what's going to go on.
Okay,
so,
okay.
So if the intern is ready, I see that he's ready.
Nameless intern.
Yes, please start the Spartacular Explosio Lusa. I see that he's lighting. He's lighting them right now. And I think the fuse is lit. The fuse is lit. Here we go. Oh, there it is. He's starting off with a bang. Oh, man.
There they go.
It's funny when you wear headsets. I see the intern is trying to get it closer, though. He's trying to get it closer. A little louder. Look at it. Now, that is giving off some sparks. That is giving off some pretty good sparks right there.
We had two bees, and now we're crackling.
Two bees so far. Oh, that's the end of that one? That was kind of lame, actually.
Let's do the next one.
Yeah, why don't we move on? This is one called Static. And from what I understand, I asked the guy when I bought these, give me, like, small all the way up to the biggest one. So this is going in order. So this is one called Static. And I see that the intern is lighting it and backing up. Backing up. Wait. Whoa, here we go.
Oh, I heard it.
Oh, it does sound
sounds
sort of
static.
It does sound staticky, yeah. It's like tons of sparks going off. Look at that. That's really amazing.
Brush them out of your hair.
Yeah. That's like just nonstop. Look how much fire is coming out of that thing. That's pretty good. Wow. Get a little closer, intern. A little closer. This intern is a little like, he's holding back. He's holding back a little bit. This is a nice long one too. I like that.
That is.
Wow. Wow. That is pretty good. Good job. Good job on these so far. So that's good. The next one, some of my favorite things about doing these are the actual names. This is one that is called Snap, Crackle, Pop, and Bang.
Oh, I didn't know the fourth cousin.
There we go. Yeah, I've never heard of bang before, but I guess we're going to see if we get our bangs worth here. So I see the fuse is being lit. Let's go. Okay. Whoa. See, this is a better one. This has got some noise.
I hear the crackle.
Yeah. I hear the crackling going. I hear some popping. I might even hear a snap, Evie, but I have not heard the bang yet. You should see the look on the intern's face. He's like not even enjoying this. He's just holding the microphone.
Oh, I like how you've instructed no talking.
Yeah. Well, I don't want them to ruin it. And actually, you know who the intern is? The intern is my neighbor. He asked my neighbor to light them while we did the show. So he's like literally like, can I go back in the house? Very nice. Now, this has got a lot of the sparks. Like, oh, there's a nice one. Like,
we shoot stuff into the air here? There's like a fountain with stuff going up. Okay.
Yeah, it's got like the fountain, but it's also...
There goes.
It's got all these sparks going off, and they're really going pretty high. I'd say like 7 or 8 feet. Wow. The intern is getting pretty close. The microphone is really, really kind of close to it. Oh, that hurt my ear. Very nice. These are good. So far we've had three good ones with some good sound and stuff. You got to love that.
Here's your Virginia fireworks, okay?
Yes. Yeah, these are not as good as the ones you normally do in Indiana, which like go up 40, 50 feet in the air. But it is time, just like in Disney tradition, you save the best for last, you save the grand finale for last. This is one that is called Majestic.
Okay.
I like that. So let's hear what this goes. Ooh!
Ow!
That was pretty loud to start off with. Ow, I gotta remember I'm wearing headsets for this. Wow. Now this is pretty... Ooh, this... Whoa! This is like a beautiful fountain.
And that's just a whistle, right? That's not actually shooting a giant missile. Or
no,
anything.
No, no. That's just a whistle, but then it's got like the big fountain going off there as well. And now we have more of those crackles. The crackles are really pretty. There are these like green sparks going off everywhere. It's really amazing. Get a little closer! Get a little closer! I'm shouting out the window. Oh, ow! I had to take my headphones off. Ow! Ow! I gotta keep my headphones off a little bit.
This should be a video. You should have to jump through it.
Whoa, the intern! Every time the every time those things go off, the intern
this
like
is
steps
long
back.
One, Mike.
This is a long one. This is going on over a minute. Wow! Very nice. Very good. The Spartacular Explosio Lusa, everybody. There it is.
That music. Good. Yeah. Good.
Very nice. A 4th of July tradition here at CoasterRadio.com. I love it.
Not bad, Mike. Not bad. Your Virginia fireworks were okay. I got to post some videos of my Indiana fireworks.
Yes. Because I know that you shoot off some good ones there that like fly off into the air and stuff. And we sort of paid tribute to the original time we did this, where it was audio only. But in 2014, we'll bring back the full video again.
It's good stuff. Absolutely.
So good stuff. What a great way to end this reunion episode of CoasterRadio.com as both EB and I are back in studio. We have got a fantastic show coming up for next week. First of all, we're going to get a report on Six Flags Magic Mountain's new roller coaster, Full Throttle.
This ride looks so cool.
Yeah, I am really excited to hear about that. We sent Travis, who brought his brother. The two Travis brothers went out. That's not his last name, of course, but I like that. The Travis brothers.
Travis.
Yeah, they went out.
My other brother, Travis.
There you go. They went out and they rode Full Throttle, and they're not only going to come on the show and talk to us about it, but they're also going to have a video podcast that shows you everything you need to know about the roller coaster.
Oh, sweet. This is the one that has the giant loop and like three different launches, and then when you come back, you go on top of the loop.
Yes. A really cool roller coaster from Premier. So I am excited to hear about that and hear if it does live up to the hype. But speaking of hype, EB, next week you and I have to get on an airplane because we are headed to Disneyland.
An airplane?
Yes.
This is Disneyland's birthday. We need more than an airplane.
That's right. Well, basically what we need to do is last year on CoasterRadio.com, one of our most successful episodes is where we used our time-traveling DeLorean and traveled through time. And we traveled through time basically.
Oh, listeners, you didn't know that we had that?
Yeah, we have one. We have one of those. It's
yeah,
actually,
you didn't know?
Yeah, very cool. And one of the things that we did last year is we time traveled to different periods of Costa Radio to go back and listen to old episodes. What we are doing next week is in honor of Disneyland's birthday, we're bringing our DeLorean to Anaheim. And right in between, you know that area, EB, that's right in between California Adventure and Disneyland? There's just that whole area where the ticket booths are.
Yes, between the two parks.
Yeah, basically what we're going to do is we are going to bring our DeLorean there. We're going to clear off. We've got Disney PR working on this right now. They are clearing off a whole area, basically from the ticket booths all the way down to downtown Disney. You and I are going to get that thing up to 88 miles per hour and travel back to 1955 to Disneyland's opening day.
There's not enough sidewalk to get up to 88 miles an hour.
There is, EB, you're just not thinking fourth dimensionally, and that's something I need you to work on for next week, because we're going to go back, and we're going to see Uncle Walt dedicate Disneyland. We're going to see it in person.
We're going to see it in person. We're going to get our DeLorean, apparently, out of the mothballs. Why don't we use this thing more often?
We should.
We would use this more
often. We totally should.
But no, yeah, we're going to do some time traveling next week. It's going to be an awesome episode of CoasterRadio.com.
Yeah.
Make sure you don't miss it.
I'm really excited about that. And I'm also really excited that we're going to have to fake like we're in Anaheim, because, of course, that's how the DeLorean works. Like,
but fake? What are you talking about? We will be going there with our real DeLorean, Mike.
There we go. So, yeah, that's the last time I'll say that we're faking it. But
do the time circuit sound. Yeah. Do it now.
Do you want it right now?
Yeah, do it now. I love it.
Yeah, you have to like punch in the time circuits and punch in all that. We're going to have it all. It's going to be great.
Totally real. Stop it.
Yeah, it's going to be so good. So so dust off the sound effects, EB. We're going to have a good show next week. But also, you know, paying tribute to one of the greatest theme parks everywhere, Disneyland. It's going to be really fun next week.
Awesome.
Prepare to shed a tear as EB and I stand just feet away from Walt Disney as he dedicates the park.
That's right. Even though it's summertime, it's going to be cold. Damn cold.
It's cold. Damn cold.
Is it hot? Yeah.
And all our Back to the Future quotes. It's going to be fun, man.
Oh, it's cold.
You got to love the Back to the Future quotes, you know? Next, please.
Next, please.
So much fun. I love thinking of Huey Lewis standing outside the gates of Great America just yelling
about look
the
on his face.
Yeah, with that same face. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yep.
A fun show this week. It's great to have you back, EB, and great to have all of you guys here as well. Keep in mind that we have the CoasterRadio.com iPhone app that is ready for you to download. A lot of people have been using that not only to call in live trip reports, but they've been using the really cool camera feature, EB. I'm liking that.
It's really awesome. And so you guys, as you experience the parks this summer, even you people who have already used the CoastRadio.com app to take pictures and send them in, keep sending them. We love them. We put them on Facebook. We look at them. Me and Mike, we really enjoy seeing what you guys are doing at the park. So get that CoastRadio.com app out of the app store and put it on your iPhone and then snap those pictures, send them to us.
Yeah, and while you are on iTunes downloading that, if you wouldn't mind, head on over to the Costa Radio page that's on iTunes where you download the podcast. And if you haven't done so already, please leave a review for the show, because a lot of people read those reviews to try to get an idea of whether or not they want to download the podcast. And so many of you have done a great job of describing what this show is all about. And it really, when you read those, it, gosh, I always get excited. I'm like, man, the show sounds fun. You guys make it sound like it's really cool. So
it sounds really good. No, and it's a unique kind of podcast. So we need you guys to kind of help, you know, deliver that flavor of what that is. Yeah. And then also, we need you guys to go on there and give us the latest reviews, because those latest reviews show people that people are still listening.
Yes, that is true. A lot of people, even people who have done it like back in 2005, 2006, people will go in and update those reviews. Which is something you can easily do. And like Evie said, it really does help, and it helps with the iTunes ratings and all that stuff that just helps us continue with the show and continue to do big things in the show. So we do appreciate that. We're also on Facebook and Twitter, twitter.com/CoastaRadio and facebook.com/CoastaRadio. Evie and I are always trying to post stuff throughout the week and interact with you beyond what we do here on the show.
Absolutely. No, we love that interactivity. That makes so much of a difference.
And here to close things out for the week is Neil Patrick Harris.
CoastaRadio.com is a production of Lift Hill Media, LLC. The show is intended for private use only and may not be redistributed or broadcast without our express written permission. Copyright 2013, all rights reserved.
Thank you very much, Neil, and thanks again to all of you for listening week after week. We're really excited about next week as we talk about Full Throttle to find out what that ride is all about. But the big time travel experiment, EB, as you and I head back to Disneyland. Going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be great, Mike. See you next week.
All right, see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the original Theme Park Podcast. For CoastaRadio.com, I'm Neil Patrick Harris. Peace out, suckers.